Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Thank you for coming back to my channel. Well, this is about the report that's just come out, and I've only read a synopsis of it, about a army spy ring inside the IRA. That's the Irish Republican Army, a terrorist organization, outlawed in the United States, Republic of Ireland, United Kingdom, possibly other countries, a racist, sectarian, anti-democratic organization determined to deprive the people of Northern Ireland of their civil liberty, to take them out of the United Kingdom, force them into the Republic of Ireland, and indeed have a revolution in the Republic of Ireland, introduce a socialist state, someone to moderate on East Germany or Cuba, something like that. But fortunately, the forces of freedom won. Democracy was saved and the IRA was defeated. So the army is still in Northern Ireland and the IRA is not. And that was partly down to informers. So Freddie Scapatici, he was born in the United Kingdom, Belfast, to be more precise, in a working-class Catholic family. And he was, I think, a quarter Italian. His grandfather shifted from Italy. And that's another thing is people were saying, oh, there was so much anti-Catholic discrimination in Northern Ireland in the old days. And there was some, and anti-Protestant discrimination, more anti-Catholic, partly because the Protestants, being the majority, had more power to discriminate. Maybe 65% of the population at height, more than 65% of the wealth, and so forth. But this shouldn't be overstated. And it's not remotely justificatory of a single murder. You know, women were severely discriminated against. I'm told women are very badly discriminated against. How many people should women murder? You know, gays were discriminated against. How many people should gay men murder or lesbian women? How many people should the disabled murder? How many people should transsexuals murder or transgender people? I'm told they're discriminated against. Or Muslims, how many murders should they commit? Should anybody be allowed to live alive because of this? I mean, next time I don't get the job, should I kill someone? I don't think so. How can you possibly compare the two? But so Freddie Scapatici joined the IRA. I think it's from a Republican background. Those who supported that. I mean, some people want to take Northern Ireland out of the United Kingdom and for it to be absorbed into the Republic of Ireland. And absorption into the Irish Republic is a completely honourable position. It's not one that I share. And people could strive towards that democratically, as they're doing now, as they were doing before and during the Troubles. Anyway, so he joined the IRA. Methinks he was a sincere member thereof. Then the Crown Forces, that's the Royal Ulster Constabulary Police, and the Army found out about something he was doing and persuaded him to be a double agent. So he was still in the IRA, and they thought he was committed to what they were trying to do. But actually, he was passing highly confidential information to the Crown Forces. And this was life-saving. So in intelligence matters, and I've never been in any intelligence community, there's SIGINT, signals intelligence, as in phone calls, text messages, emails, anything like that, but also human intelligence, something that someone inside whatever target organization hears, sees, and she can tell you. Of course, in those days, going back to, say, the 70s, SIGINT was less sophisticated. Emails didn't exist. Mobile phones didn't exist. And obviously, even the IRA weren't dumb enough to speak openly on the phone about what they were doing. Now, the IRA got increasingly cunning towards the time over time. Sometimes you could get bugging devices, listening devices in houses and cars and stuff like that. Apparently technology has moved on a lot. They're way more sophisticated, can pick up people are saying from much further away than they could back then. But human intelligence, having someone inside the organization, was much more important to the security forces and indeed the IRA and loyalist terrorists. They tried to penetrate other organizations. The loyalist terrorists had their informers inside the army, particularly the Ulster Defence Regiment, some inside the RUC. The IRA, they certainly had informers inside the army. And that's why they got the Glover Report, Future Terrorist Trends, and so on. Okay, so steak knife was misspelt. Whoever wrote it was not the sharpest knife in the drawer, excuse the pun. So he was passing really vital intelligence because the security forces, you know, I can't remember which Secretary of State for Northern Ireland said, you can't be safe everywhere. We can't prevent all attacks. There's no such thing as absolute security. And actually, certainly by the early 90s, the murder rate in Belfast was half that of London and much lower than almost all major American cities. So the severity of the trouble shouldn't be exaggerated. But, you know, it was one evil organization, the IRA, and its loyalist mirror images, the UVF or the UFF, that were carrying out these. The security forces, with most of the firepower, killed only 10% of those killed. Most of whom they killed were terrorists. Now, sometimes they killed civilians, sometimes accidentally, occasionally deliberately, and that's murder. That's true. Okay, so they've been looking at Operation Canova, what Freddie Scapaticci did inside the IRA. So he finds this information, and it's very useful to the Crown Forces to know the IRA are planning to attack this place at this time and so on, or they're developing a plan, but they don't know when or where to do it and whatever, or they've got this arms shipment coming in, or this person's got that job within the IRA, or she's hiding whichever house. So it was very useful to them. So if they used that and went in and arrested people straight away and broke up everything, then that would point to Freddie Scapaticci. Well, they might notice a pattern in the IRA. He's every time he's involved in a certain operation, it has to be aborted, whatever. So the Crown Forces' strategy about the early 90s was not to kill people, as one officer said. It was to make sure as few people got killed as possible to thwart the operation. If there's going to be an attack on a pub, for example, they just flood the street with police officers. The IRA say, this is not going ahead. They became very risk-averse. They're very circumspect towards the end. There was a bomb going to be put on a vehicle that went by ferry across to North Britain very frequently. The bomb was left unguarded, the vehicle was left unguarded, so they had an officer stay with it, so the IRA didn't have a chance to put a bomb on it and things like that. So to scotch these plans. But some attacks had to be allowed to go ahead. Otherwise, the IRA had found out who was. It was the internal security unit known as the Nutting Squad to abduct, torture, and murder people whom the IRA suspected were helping the security forces. So Scapaticci, he didn't do it for high-minded reasons, but he still did it. And he was doing this at great risk to himself. He knew the horrendous fate that were going to befall him should he be unmasked. Okay, so MI5, that's the UK's internal intelligence agency. That was handling him. So speaking him, debriefing him. I don't know how he passed over the messages, because he couldn't walk into a RUC station. And I suppose he maybe couldn't speak at home or whatever. I don't know if he had to meet the handlers in person or not. So the MI5 has been caught lying again. It said it had a marginal role. We know that it was actually quite major, and so on. So this is in the public interest. But therefore, the Crown Forces knew that certain attacks were going to go ahead and didn't thwart them, because they realized that would lead to Scapaticci being exposed and killed, and then the information would dry up. And in the longer term, it was vital to keep him there. These are agonizing decisions to make, but it is true. Surely anyone would admit that you have got to have spies inside an enemy organization. I mean, these are not just non-state actors, but against state actors as well. But, you know, how would I feel if it was my loved one who'd been murdered by Scapaticci and the security forces had just allowed it to go ahead? And, of course, Scapaticci didn't face justice. I can't remember how he was exposed. And eventually he moved to South Britain, where he lived out his days. He died in, where was it? He died in Guildford a couple of years ago. So that's it. So what's going to happen? And then people are being a bit too moralistic about this. So they're never to be the security forces are never allowed to have agents inside terrorist organizations ever again, so that more people are going to get killed. And the trouble is, we can't count the lives saved, because supposing a bomb attack went ahead, had that gone ahead, how many people would have been killed? 5, 10, 20? We don't know. But even if Scapaticci had not, information had been used to thwart it, maybe the bomb wouldn't have gone off. Maybe the IRA had changed their minds for some other reasons. So we can never be precise about how many people he saved. But, you know, the security forces were doing this for the best of reasons. They didn't want to get killed themselves either. So that's where they realized that in the long run, that was the right thing to do. Maybe people won't understand this, but are you saying that security forces and all over the world should never have spies inside criminal organizations? Of course they should. But that means not acting on all intelligence. Otherwise, you'd have a spy there pretty soon. And other people would be unwilling to come forward as informers because they know they'll quickly be unmasked and killed. Right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then to PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.